I want to get to sort of the scene right now in the NHL, but let's just rewind to the weekend in Vancouver, and you picked up Jacob Pelche, and I can recall going into the draft talking to Brian Burke, and he said the Calgary Flames are going to draft someone that competes hard and plays hard no matter what the size. What did you see in Pelche, Brad?
Well, just that, Jeff. I know our guys, you know, when you're picking 26, I would say we're casting a wider net, so there was a lot of names there. But even, you know, as I went through our meetings, even going back to the midterms, you know, this was a guy that our scouts really, you know, really liked. And just for that, ultra competitive kid, mm-hmm. real smart. You know, from the eyeball test, he proves out well with a lot of the data that we track. And, you know, our data department there, this guy was, you know, he graded up there really in that area as a top 10 guy. And so not a big guy, obviously has to thicken up, and you'd like them all to be a lot bigger. But, you know, how he thinks the game and just how the will and compete that he has, not only to make himself better, but how he plays, made it an attractive pick for us. But like all these guys, we'll see in a few years where, you know, how successful Saturday was.
Okay, there was a nice soft question for you. That was Merrick's. Oh. That's Merrick's job.
Here comes a hard.
Your season opens
one.
October 3rd, Thursday in Denver. Who's your starting goalie?
We got a long ways to go yet. You know, we got a long ways to go yet, John. We right now, obviously, we've got David Rittich that we've got to get a contract done with, and we will. And we're looking right now. You know, and that looking is, you know, Mike Smith was here a year, last year, the last 2 years, pending unrestricted free agent come Monday. So we're just trying to balance what we think is going to best support and work with David, quite frankly. We think David's got the opportunity to continue to grow and be a number one here. I thought he had a terrific year last year, really his first year of playing the number of games that he played. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to look and see how best can we, you know, round out our goaltending tandem and how does it best support David and work with David. So, you know, once that's done, I'll give you a better idea. But I would suspect David Rittich will be our starting goalie.
Have you ruled out Mike Smith completely?
No. Okay. No, I've talked with his representative, Kurt Overhart, you know, as early as today, and just, you know, we both talked about, you know, getting into this period, whether it, you know, be talking to other teams, whether there's the trade market, whether it's the UFA market, and just wanted to be upfront with him. Mike's been a real competitor for us, and my time with Mike goes back far, far earlier than my time in Calgary. So, you know, Kurt and I talked a couple weeks ago about getting to this point and seeing what may be out there for Mike, seeing what there may be out there for us, and go from there.
Brad, we're in this window now here where people like yourself can speak to agents about the free agents. And I know that you're not anticipating on being a major player this July 1st, but we've been through this a few years now. I'm just curious, what value, when you've done it, when you've used it in the past, do the Flames get from being able to talk to these guys during this window?
You know, Chris, it's a good question. I think it's still evolving. I would say this is this year, it's longer. I would have to go back and look, but it seems much longer.
Feels forever.
And I don't know if really at the end of the day, so whatever the starting period was, Sunday or whenever it was.
Sunday, yeah.
I think it's not going to start really, you know, till this weekend. I think there's just a lot of, you know, it's Groundhog Day, right? And like you said, we've certainly talked to some people and tried to stay, if nothing else, current in the marketplace of what's going on. But, you know, we're not big game hunting by any stretch. But I think what you're going to see is just it's prolonged the process of, you know, people narrowing down their teams or selections. And, you know, that'll probably happen more as we get closer to the weekend. So is it helpful? I guess it gives you a little bit of a sense of what's going on. But it just seems like, you know, it's sort of rinse, repeat every day, you know, talking to people and So is it beneficial? Probably is, but you know, I think teams will have a better sense of things come the weekend.
Flames GM Brad for living with us on Hockey Central at noon. You're not big game hunting, but you have a big rhino out there to tame with a contract, and that's Matthew Tkachuk. When you, Brad, saw the number 81.5 pop up over the weekend, what went through your mind? You have some business on the horizon here with someone that many think is a future captain of your team.
Well, it wasn't a huge surprise. We've been modeling, you know, a lot of our work, we've been modeling at different numbers. Obviously, we're a little bit higher than 81.5 in a lot of our modeling, but always knowing that there could be, you know, something could be lower or higher. So we went to the manager's meeting there before the draft on the Thursday, I think it was, or the Wednesday or the Thursday. And, you know, we got a sense from the league that it's either going to be, you know, 81.5, 80, or 82. So you felt, you know, you were narrowed in. It's not a huge gap, but certainly it always, you know, you'd always like to see it as high as you can get it for those of us that have business to do. So not a huge surprise, Jeff. And the impact it has, you know, you've got a little bit less money than maybe you projected to work with, and you got to figure out a way to make it all fit.
We touched on this before you came on the air, Brad. What's happened to the, when you're talking to the restricted free agents, what's happened to the bridge deal? Where has it gone? Does it make sense for you at any point to consider a bridge deal for somebody like Matthew?
Yeah, that in my hair is gone. I don't know where it went. You know what? I think there's you know, that there's still a marketplace for that. We've seen it here with Travis Sanheim recently in Philadelphia. You know, so I think it's all, you know, it's all part of the discussion, right? You know, this, and it's been talked about really all year. This group of players, this RFA group of players, have really collectively done things, you know, that not a lot of group of restricted players have done in the past. So I think it's trying to figure out that marketplace. So I still think there's, you know, we've gone through it. If you go through our history, we've had 2-year deals, 3-year deals, in the past, and I still think that market is still there. It's just you're seeing it change, and you're seeing, you know, really most recently sort of big dollars on shorter term deals. I think the bridge deal is still there. It's the definition maybe from the team side of what constitutes a bridge deal. You know, not just going shorter necessarily constitutes a bridge deal, but I think, you know, each individual case is a little bit different, right? No matter what they're, you know, everybody's economics are a little bit different. Every player is a little bit different. Every situation is a little bit different. So I don't think it's gone the way of the dinosaur quite yet, but, you know, obviously these players coming out that we're talking about have been real productive players, and we've seen some contracts that have been done at significant numbers, and I think everybody's just trying to find out where everybody fits within the scope at this point.
As different as those situations are, and obviously you're only dealing with one of those marquee RFAs that we've talked so much about, do you feel like they're meshed together? I just ask because it seems strange that none of them have signed this close, this late into the offseason.
Yeah, Chris, I yes and no. I think everybody's still maybe trying to figure out what that market is, right?
Right.
And you have a better sense as things start to fill in. So, you know, right now, has there been a marketplace set? Is somebody waiting to be the first to sort of set the bar? I know in our particular case, both the player, Matthew, and his representatives have not they haven't shied away from engaging with us at all. And so it's been real productive dialogue. And we're just trying to get to a place where that makes sense for the player, makes sense for us. And, you know, I can't speak to all the other situations. So they're all a little bit unique because everybody's situation is a little bit different. And whether that's their cap situation today, you know, where there may be some tightness financially a year or 2 years down the road. So everything's a little bit different. So I think, you know, everybody's just cognizant of making sure they do the right deal and the right deal for themselves, the right deal for the players. So, again, I can't get into specifics on other teams. That's not necessarily any of my business. I just know from our standpoint, we've got a really good player that is a really big part of our team now and is going to continue to be, and we're just trying to get something that gets him looked after and fits within our structure, and we'd like to do it sooner rather than later.
Okay, Brad, let's close on this then. Offer sheets are real, how do you phrase it, dinner bell topic for talk radio. Certainly, you know, this close to July 1st. In your estimation, do you think we see an offer sheet this offseason?
Well, I don't know. I think it makes for great radio and great TV and those things. And so I don't know. Are we going to see one that's sometimes like predicting the weather in Alberta? You never know. But, you know, the reality is, if you just really look at the reality, is how often are they successful? And, you know, I think everybody looks at, you know, it's certainly a tool. It's certainly a within the guidelines of the CBA. But when you step back from all the, you know, which makes for great headlines, and just say the reality is, you know, people are always going to look after their young players, and, sure, and especially young top players. And, you know, you can always move other players, right? So I just, at the end of the day, if you go and you do an offer sheet, the object is to get the player. And I think if teams are looking at what's really the reality the reality of getting the player, I don't know. That's where I think we've seen not so many of them, because people are, you know, they've given themselves enough room where there's always a way to, you're going to look after your top players and hold on to them. So, long-winded answer of saying, we certainly are not going to be in the offer sheet. we'll see what the summer holds.